deleted.
Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 085. It's the Ocho Cinco here. It's also the Thai Red edition. I am absolutely exhausted. It's been a crazy past couple days in the office. So if you're listening to this podcast over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you'd like to send me an email, tell me how you think this show's doing. If you think we suck, please tell us. Over to caffeination@gmail.com. Hopefully everything's going all right in your life. We'd like to welcome all of our listeners who've been listening, who've made the switch over to the new server. Hello, thank you so much for following us over here. If you are a first-time listener or you just found the server again, hi and welcome back. Hope that you stay for a little while. Give us a show or two. Tell us if there's something you don't like. We're willing to change, I swear. So far, so good, but I gotta tell you, it's not often that I'll talk about work. It's not often that I'll say anything other than the most general of information, but lately it's just been, I don't know, around here, at least on the eastern seaboard, it's been unseasonably warm, shall we say, most of this week. And the building that I work in, I mean, it's part of a college, it's part of a university, but other buildings are better managed temperature-wise. This one just, it's badly designed. That's what the building engineer told me. So they have real problems regulating the heat, but once it gets cold and stays cold, you're relatively comfortable. Once it gets hot and stays hot, you're relatively cool. But it's those in-between times that really suck. I mean, there's just no other word for it. Lately, since it's been around 60 degrees, that's not the problem. The problem was that it was like 40 degrees last week. So being 40 degrees last week and 60 degrees this week, they still, of course, have the thermostats, whatever cooling system or heating systems in the middle of the building, set to as if it was 40 degrees outside. So currently my office, complete with 5 or 6 servers, is a rocking 93 degrees Fahrenheit when I walk in. So that's probably around, I guess, 36 degrees centigrade or something like that. It's unbelievable. It's just ridiculous. So I spend most of the day just sitting there and sweating. It's disgusting. I mean, usually most people take a shower at the end of the day just to feel refreshed. I have to take one as soon as I get home just so I feel all right holding my son. I mean, this is just, I don't know, it's just disgusting. So there's no other way around it. And as an extension of that, I'm just going to try and get you through this show, give you a whole bunch of great news, whole bunch of interesting information there, then head you on your way. We have a whole bunch of interesting tech tidbits. We have a little bit of caffeinated bits. Of course, I'm a slacker, so I didn't finish the article. That'll be up tomorrow at some point in time, so you can check for that. A little bit of general information and only one bit of PodSafe musical goodness today. We'll get to that in a minute. First, we'd like to talk a little bit about our sponsor. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for sponsoring this show. And first off, we'd like to say that getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half-day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet you online. During your call, they can see your computer screen. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit gotomeeting.com and type in the promo code podcast. That's PODCAST. That's gotomeeting.com and type in podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. All right, so now that we got that out of the way and we're on into the rest of the episode here, we figure we'd launch off with a rather aptly named PodSafe music song. And to be quite honest to the artist, if she happens to listen to this show, I really honestly did pick your song from the beginning because of the title. I was like, all right, this is a good show. I'm tired. The song's named Tired. That's a good way to start everything off, right? So, and then I started listening to it. Of course, there's a couple songs with Tired in it, and this one just, I don't know why. Whether it's the artist's voice or something else about it, it just really rang out as an honest-to-God good song. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put 2 songs in tonight. I'm going to try and get you out of here in a relatively reasonable period of time. So I was like, I'm just going to pick the best out of all the songs that I've listened to today. So here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have Pippa Rogers and her song Tired. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I don't want
it's too much to stay. Knowing I can't be yours and you can never be mine. That's the way it goes. And I hope we meet again in some other place at some other time.
And her song Tired from the PodSafe Music Network. Like I said, I hope you liked that as much as I did. Great strong female vocals going all the way through. Just a tint of blues feeling in the middle of the her voice. Just awesome song. Awesome. You're definitely going to be hearing some more of her on our show. Hopefully you liked that. Please send me a comment, email, suggestion, whatever else, if there's a kind of music that you'd like to hear. So we're going to just get right on into it right now in the tech tidbits section. Hopefully you're going to enjoy all the stuff that we have there for you today. If you remember a little while ago, the first thing we're going to talk about, let me just make sure that I'm going in the correct order. Actually, no, I'm not. All right, the first thing that I have linked up there, I'm not actually going to open up on the on the little web browser here because I don't necessarily want to, screw up what I'm trying to do here in the caffeination. But what I'm saying is that this is a interesting link that you really need to go to. What it is if you're addicted to Mario, if you've ever played Mario Brothers, any of the different games from a while ago, you really need to go to this site because what this is the never-ending Mario, or I think that's what it is. Yeah, it's whatever. We'll just go there. It's called Infinite Mario Brothers. What it is somebody found all the different elements that are within the game, and they decided to randomize it all throughout the game so that you actually get a different map every time you play. You get different enemy placement. Now, it's not perfect. It's not exactly Mario Brothers. I mean, because, you know, let's just face it, it's not the same company that did it. But it's a really credible version of it, and I just love it. So I've been playing it a little bit at home, yeah, because it's a good little mind-numbing thing to play while you're on your laptop and the you're waiting for stuff to finish, so yeah. So it's kind of fun to do. And then we're going to talk a little bit about another game that we talked about here in the Caffeination. It was called Flow, and what it is Genova Chen had his master's in fine arts thesis, and it was a game called Flow. It was a beautiful Flash game with a wonderful haunting score to it, and I was raving about this. It's still on my computer to this day, and every once in a while I'll play it, and it just has great replay value. It's just a great game. It's really neat, and it's very unique. I mean, this is not something that you've seen 15 of before. This is not your normal first-person shooter. This is not a real-time strategy. This is not, like a sim or anything like that. It's own game. It's very interesting. It's similar to the Snake game, if you've ever played that, just in theory, except imagine like layered boards of Snake, and to where if you eat certain pellets, you go down further, and the further down you go, there's actually enemies that can eat you because they're larger than you, and the object is to grow and evolve your creature from this tiny little, it looks like a couple little circles with pinchers on the front, to something much larger, and it's just awesome. You start getting legs and arms. It's really an evolution in gaming. It's awesome. Well, yeah, say awesome just a couple more times, Paul. All right, well, this guy's actually being rewarded for his wonderful game design by Sony. Sony has contracted him and commissioned an enhanced version of the game that's going to be sold on the PlayStation Network. It's kind of like Xbox Live. Basically, you're going to be able to download mini games and stuff on your PlayStation 3. This is really, I don't know, I've never heard of something like this happening before. You know, like a hobbyist or something makes a game, and, you know, completely for fun, or this guy did it for school, and then has it, you know, taken to such a level. So it's going to be really cool. So I just wanted to point that out to you, and then we're going to stick a little bit in the game genre, talking a little bit about some other stuff. Now, I don't know if you've heard this. Now, this song's going to be a little bit in the background. Hopefully you can hear it, but now, if you recognize what this is some of the music that's on a wonderful commercial that's been playing lately. And the music's just so haunting. I'm just going to let you listen to the rest of it, and then I'll talk a little bit more. I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad. Now, what that was a song called Mad World by, oh man, it was just here. Can you believe I actually lost it? That was a song called Mad World. And what it is in a trailer for a video game. The video game is unlike anything that the song would sound like it would be attached to. The video game is called Gears of War. It looks awesome for the Xbox 360. And it's like a really deep, gritty, a very stylized world, all about, you know, it's very harsh looking, and the beauty and the hauntingness of the song contrasts so unbelievably with the visuals. So I have a link up to the video over at Google over on YouTube, GooTube or whatever it's called, going to be called, but still. By far, this is the best commercial for a video game I have ever seen. Sorry about that. Told you I was tired. Now, this is just one of those things where you just hope Santa's going to put it under the tree for you. But it's just such a contrast. You really have to go and see it. And it's not like I'm being effusive with praise here for no good reason. The reason that this has become so talked about, this commercial, is because, you know, it's made other people who weren't necessarily considering buying an Xbox 360 seriously consider it. I mean, if you look at some of the comments below the video, they're like, yeah, I was a complete Sony fanboy before this, and now, you know, you actually given me a little bit of a choice. I didn't think you could produce a game like that. And it's already out, so the reports of the gameplay are starting to come back in. Man, I cannot stop yawning. I don't know what's wrong with me. The reports of the gameplay are starting to come back in. They're saying this is probably one of the best titles for any Xbox game ever. And it's ranking up there as one of the higher rated titles released in the past couple years for any systems. I mean, that's the kind of game that this is for. And they really did such an awesome job on the commercial. You really have to head on over there and check it out. It's unbelievable. And then, you know, if that's not your thing, If those kind of gears aren't your thing, you know, Gears of War, then you might want to look at this. This is a link to a story over at Wired, but I was trained as an archaeologist, so I'm a little bit of an archaeology nerd. I love archaeology. I love finding old things. And there's been this mystery, basically. It's a 2,000-year-old collection of gears that was found at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, and it was discovered in a shipwreck over a century ago, which is, you know, pretty long. And so scientists have been studying this collection of gears called the, I'm gonna butcher this, so anybody who actually knows how this is pronounced, please feel free to send me a comment, but Antikythera mechanism. It's a series of gears, and the reason that this was so special is because there are writings from the Greeks and there are writings from a whole bunch of ancient scholars that talk all about these wonderful gear-driven computing devices that were present in ancient Greece and areas around that time. So, you know, we're talking like 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, and none of them have survived. Nobody's found evidence of these. So a lot of people thought they were just, I don't know, blowing smoke a little bit. So nobody really thought that they actually meant anything. So this is going to be probably one of the most advanced pieces of machinery to come out from that time. We're talking like over 2,000 years ago. They said they did not rival the kind of craftsmanship that this thing was until probably the late 1800s. So that's a huge gap in time where the manufacturing process was not precise enough. This was like a Swiss watch. That's how well-designed and compact this series of gears was. But nobody's known what it did. I mean, people assumed, oh, it might be a calendar, it might be this, it might be that. But newer technologies have actually been able to penetrate through the thick level of corrosion on it. So the picture that they have up at Wired isn't... there it is again. The picture that they have up at Wired isn't necessarily the best one. It's a rather rough computer-generated version of it, but they're saying that it is a lunar calendar. It's capable of monitoring and predicting lunar cycles, planetary movements across the heavens. It's incredibly complicated. And there's going to be a conference that's going to start on this. Let's see. Yeah. I just lost it. They're going to say there's a conference that's going to be starting on this. They say Thursday. So that's tomorrow, 11:30, 2006. So we're going to report back. We're going to blog a little bit about this just because I've been fascinated with this thing ever since we were shown pictures of it like in first year archaeology. They said, oh, this is the kind of thing that you might one day hope to be able to find. The coolest thing that I ever found while I was working on a dig, I mean, I've only been on one. I worked in... CRM after that for a little bit of a summer. And what that basically is they go into construction sites beforehand and they kind of check out what everything is, and they, you know, they see if there's anything significant in the site beforehand. So the coolest thing that I found personally, the coolest thing that I... A lot of qualifications that come with all this, because you don't want to take credit away from anybody. I didn't find it. I was there when they did. I got to see it probably about 30 seconds after it came out of the ground. So there we go. All right, it's called a gorget. It was about half of a necklace. Now, it's a really wide stone piece that sat in the middle of a necklace, kind of like you would have like a pendant on a chain. Now, it was only half of it. A normal gorget was probably around 5 inches long. This was about 2.5 inches wide, or 2.5 inches long and about 1.5 inches wide and very, very thin for being a piece of rock. It was a piece of like rolled river stone. But the cool thing about it was on the face of it, besides there being a hole drilled in one side, now we're talking about like 3,000 years ago, maybe. We're talking about like early Native American woodland period stuff. I probably got the time wrong. This is all just off the top of my head. There's actually inscriptions on it. There was a drawing of a fish and what looked like to be part of a fish weir, or it's like a trap for fish so that you didn't have to stand there with a net all day. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I've seen come out of the ground. So I couldn't even begin to imagine being able to pull this kind of complicated machinery out of the ground and have it seriously be over 2,000 years old. That's just insane. That blows my mind. There is no way that I can wrap my head around being present at such an occasion. So the fact that they've actually, it's taken them over 100 years to even figure out what this thing is, it is just awesome. And to be alive during the time when they actually find out what it is really cool too. So we'll be blogging a little bit about that. You should head on over to the caffeination.com website in between our little audio interludes to check out some of the blogs. We've actually had a couple of them throw up there. So, Yeah, I think you know what I mean. But we've had a couple blogs posted recently. We talk a little bit about tech stuff. We talk about stuff that's going on in the world. It's all revolving around coffee and tech. It's all the same kind of content, which would normally end up in an episode, but it's usually topical for whatever day that it gets posted. So hopefully you'll find it interesting. Now we have something that's complete craziness, aside from the whole Gears thing. If you're bored and you need a hobby, how about animal levitation? Yeah, that's right. There's scientists who are working in the middle of Northwestern Polytechnical University in China who have used ultrasound fields to levitate globs of mercury, iridium, and other very heavy metals. Now scientists have done the same thing with small animals. We're talking like ants and beetles and spiders and ladybugs. They said the only reason that fish didn't work was because there was no water there for them to breathe. But that's just crazy. They're levitating things just based on sound. Thought I'd throw that out there. Thought it was really cool. It's not necessarily, you know, the kind of tech that I usually talk about, but hey, it's geeky. Hopefully you'll find it interesting. Now, on to something that we all know that I love. I love robots, and I'm a real sucker for Roomba hacks, you know, people doing crazy things to Roombas, but we'll get to that in a minute. iRobot, the company that actually has, creates the Roomba as well as many other things like the Scuba and another thing we're going to be talking about in a little bit, has actually realized that people have loved taking the Roombas apart. So what they're doing is they're creating a Roomba called the iRobot Create. It doesn't have the vacuum in it, so that solves one problem. And they're giving you schematics and all other kinds of stuff, so you can do crazy things to it. It's basically a robot that's a blank slate. Looks like the same giant hockey puck that a Roomba does, but there's no vacuum inside it. It's all kinds of cargo bay connectors and different stuff all about it, and it's basically for people to hack into and see what they want to do with it. I just thought this is an interesting idea because this is an entire untapped market that the company hadn't probably thought about when they were creating this. They're like, oh, well, you know, people hate vacuuming. We're going to throw a vacuum and a robot, put them together, and see what happens. See what comes out. What kind of offspring we can produce here. So, they have that. And then I do have to give credit to my brother-in-law, Steve. He said, oh, yeah, they're coming up with a new vacuum for shops. It can pick up, like, nuts and bolts and stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, I saw that. That's just the normal Roomba. I saw it on the commercial. It was picking up a... like washers and stuff on a carpet. You know, it was picking up like little nuts and stuff. No. This is a new robot coming out from iRobot. Along with the Roomba and the Scuba, we now have the Dirt Dog. Yeah, it's a workshop robot. It's basically the heavy-duty Roomba. They're saying it's starting to become available at September 15th, which is a little while ago. But I found it again on the thing. I don't know what I was thinking. But now this is just hardcore. So this is definitely an interesting little contraption. And should I ever actually get the garage cleaned out here, this might be an interesting idea. Because, I mean, hey, I do make a mess. So then we have two quick little links just to throw you back to, harken back to old stories here from the Caffeination. Two little hacks that people have produced with Roombas so far to give you the kind of idea that the craziness that goes on with these vehicles. So Roomba takes Frogger to the asphalt jungle. There was a Make magazine, which is a whole bunch of DIY, do-it-yourselfer kind of stuff, decided to work with a whole bunch of other people, and they created a Roomba Frogger. So I have the links up there. They painted the thing green. They have eyes on it. They put legs and arms on it, and they had it going across a four-lane highway at night in the middle of Texas. So You draw your conclusions from that. I've already talked a little bit about that. Then the other one that we have up there is the Roomba Monkey. It's the missing link in your living room. We've played the sound on here. Frankly, the sound still scares me to this day, so we're not going to. But basically, somebody put some kind of animatronic head from a monkey onto a Roomba, and every time it went around the living room, it would squeak and that kind of noise. So, yeah, we're just going to leave that one go, and then we're going to move on to the next little... thing here. Now, it takes a really big company to say, you know what? It's just not working out here. It's not you. It's us. This wasn't a good idea. Google's actually closing down Google Answers. Now, I never really understood the idea of this. I mean, I can see the general thing. This is Google for the lazy. It's people who really didn't want to search, who really didn't want to delve deep into topics. And they were saying some of the topics that they've covered are cool things like how many Tyrannosaurus Rexes come out to make a gallon of oil or stuff like that. I mean, they had crazy questions that are linked up in their in the company blog. So it's a really cool, but as of the end of this year, there will be no more... no more questions accepted. All the questions that they did answer will be up online. So, yeah, well, let's see. Wow. Okay. Here we go. Sorry it took so long there, but I actually clicked, if you go to the Google blog, they actually have the links to some of the crazy, questions like how many Tyrannosaurus Rexes are in the gallon of gasoline. Well, the answer is one T-Rex can produce approximately 460 gallons of gasoline, and they have a whole huge thing there on that, so I thought that was pretty cool. Some of the other questions, the crazy questions they talked about, is why flies survive a microwave, why you really shouldn't drink water emitted by your air conditioner, and even closer to home, we learned one afternoon that our building might be on fire. So is Google headquarters on fire right now? My wife drove to your campus and saw it on smoke. Are you guys okay? I can probably get a ladder if you need it. Now, that's the kind of crazy thing you don't expect, but yeah, just kind of cool. So 4+ years, interesting service, but I guess they really didn't see any kind of return like they were expecting to. Because, I mean, with Google, it's all the... It's all about the search. It all goes back to the search. That's where they make their money, search and ads. So I guess it didn't pan out, but still it could be good for being a big enough company to admit, you know what, it's just not working out. We're just going to cut and run here. But you can still have all the old questions, all the answers that you asked for, and we're going to put it up there. Now, the other thing we have here is two more things. We have just a general little notice, but BitTorrent... has apparently the company BitTorrent has made a deal with the devil, as the link here, spit it out, Paul. The link here says on Gizmodo, video downloads to ensue. Now, if you don't know what BitTorrent is, basically the long and the short of it is, if I have one giant file on my end and you want my giant file, it would take a long time for me to transfer that file to you. Now, if you want the file, and the guy next to you wants the file, and the guy next to you wants the file, it's going to take even longer because there's only one copy of my file. So what they're saying, what BitTorrent is based around, is that every file that you try and download, they pull little pieces out. Then they make up like a giant Lego building block that eventually assembles the file. Now, you can get the pieces from different people. So the more people that are trying to download the file, like they're grabbing random bits throughout the... throughout the file. And they're all packaged very nicely, but still. So, like, let's just say 100 meg file might be, I don't know, 2,000 little packages. So you might get 15 packages from the guy who actually started the download, or from the guy, rather, who actually started the file. And then you might get 30 from the next guy, and you might get 25 from the guy after that. So the more people that are there, the more people that can get the file, the faster it goes. And some of the files that I've seen transferred over BitTorrent reach amazing speeds, speeds that you would never be able to see any other time. So it's a really interesting content delivery system. The only problem is, at least for the content providers, a lot of the content has been stolen so far. So if you wanted to get... it's not a service like Kazaa or LimeWire or anything. It's more of a methodology. So it can be used for legal distribution. You know, I know that Todd from the Geek News Central podcast actually distributes his podcast over Torrent to help with his bandwidth bills. And if I ever actually figure out how to go about doing it, I'd do the same. But, you know, I figure that this is just an interesting little thing, and they've actually decided to go legit. What they're doing is they're going to the company BitTorrent Incorporated, rather, has made deals with 20th Century Fox, Paramount, Lionsgate, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, MTV, Palm Pictures, G4, some Oriental name, and Starz Media. So I'm done butchering names for the night, I swear. All right, so what they're basically going to do is they're going to use their powers for good, so that you're going to actually buy the license to download something, and they're going to do download to own things, they're going to do video on demand. It's going to really spread the bandwidth for a lot of these things around so that you're going to be able to get your file quicker, which is interesting. So the whole story's up over there. I know I took a lot of time explaining it. Just figure I'd throw it out there, and hopefully you find it interesting. And then the final little bit of tech tidbits that we have here today is from the Rooster's Rail. Good colleague over there, Dave Gray, awesome guy, awesome podcast. Awesome podcast, the Global Geek Podcast. A while ago, back when Apple was talking about suing people for using the word podcast and trying to say that pod was their brand, when they only ever patented iPod, and that copyright and trademark legislation is to prevent consumer confusion. So this is, goes back to what a podcast really is, and it goes back and forth. I still tend to believe that it was originally meant to be portable on-demand broadcast, so podcast. But still, there's some disagreement throughout the community. That's always what I have been told about beginning, and they said, and the fact that an iPod is not needed, well, David started getting a little worried and said, you know what, maybe I'll beat everybody to the punch. I'll just send a letter and a check over to Steve Jobs and ask to license the word podcast. So he sent a real letter and a real $1 check over there asking to be able to use the word podcast in his title of his podcast, the Global Geek Podcast. Well, it took over 2 months. I guess he figured the check was lost to the ether. Nobody wanted to read it. He got a written response from Apple, which is unbelievable. I mean, it's just crazy. And they gave him the same check back, so he didn't end up losing anything. They said Apple does not license the term podcast. They do not own it. It is a word in the English dictionary. So that's pretty cool. You can see a little link to the letter over here, over at his website, the Rooster's Rail, or roostersrail.wordpress.com. That's Dave's blog. That's an interesting little read. He always has good technology news over there, so you can head on over there fairly frequently to find some cool content. But just thought that was awesome. Good job, Dave. I mean, he actually got it in writing, so they really can't complain too much if it starts to get a little out of hand for them. All right, that wraps it up there for the tech tidbits. On to a little bit of the general information. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's BLUBRRY. So you can, if you have our show notes, or if you head on over to caffeination.com, you can find the link and click on over there and find our show, find all the shows that we listen to, find some of the people who listen to this show. It's kind of a cool little environment. Again, the standard plea to have people go over and read my personal blog, a little bit different, not always completely safe for work. It doesn't follow the same clean guidelines that we try to here at the Caffeination Podcast, but I mean, it's not overly crass, overly crude or anything. I might let a word slip every once in a while if I'm suitably motivated, but other than that, it's an interesting little read. I'd like to think so. It's puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. Again, We have our season of giving. We have the two charities that we've been talking about, and we're going to continue to talk about all through this Yuletide season. Just finished decorating, or partially finished decorating, the office today and work. Interesting, but who would ever consider that if you put four completely working strands of twinkle lights into a box with a tree, 1 year later you go into the storage room at work, you pull it out, and all four strands would be completely dead. Now, this is the reason that I hate twinkle lights. Now, this is probably going to be another blog post on something else, but I hate them with a passion. I so much like the larger bulb lights, you know, the giant bulbs, because at least, you know, you can find which one of those is burnt out. I mean, there's only so many bulbs on a strand. Twinkle lights, you have to go through like 50 or 100 of them, and there is no visible destruction unless one of them is broken. So right now I have four broken strands of twinkle lights. I know they're only like $1.50 a pop, but I just hate throwing stuff out like that. They've lasted 3 years. I figure, hey, they were good for another one more, but apparently not. Gotta head to the dollar store or some other place and get a suitably long enough strand of cords for the windows and work. Should be interesting. I'm quite festive in work, really. It's kind of interesting to check to see the office. If I can take a picture without having any really identifiable information in it, I will. Hopefully you'll find it fun. Then let's see what else. Oh yeah, talking about the two charities, we had the Coffee for the Troops and the Child's Play charity. Child's Play charity's kind of cool. They haven't updated the ticker yet to see exactly how much, but they were talking on the blog over at pennyarcade.com about some of the things that they need. They need simple stuff like batteries, because everybody buys all these cool toys and gives them to the hospital, but then the hospital has to buy batteries to run the electronic things. Or people buy things like Play-Doh for kids. Sick kids in hospitals love simple things like Play-Doh. The only problem is sick kids in hospitals can't use the same Play-Doh more than once. So they'll play with it, and then they unfortunately have to throw it out because it's not sanitary. So if you can buy like a six-pack of Play-Doh or something and you can, on Amazon.com, and just have it sent to the address over at Child's Play Charity, then, you know, you're doing good. So he said over there, he said, you know, for $5 you can really make a difference in some of these kids' lives. So I just think it's really cool charity. Hopefully you'll head on over there and check it out at least. Now on to our caffeinated bits section. Man, I'm talking for almost like 37 minutes straight, and this was supposed to be a short show. What are you doing, Paul? All right, you can check out the recipes section tomorrow. I know I'm a slacker, but there will be a complete review of all the spices that I throw into coffee at any point in time. A little explanation of how to put the spice in. If you have a drip brew or some other percolating machine, or if you're just rocking the instant coffee, and what exactly all the spices can do for you, and how they work flavor wise and together. So hopefully you'll find that interesting. Let's see. Also, we have two more little things here. Apparently, coffee fights type 2 diabetes, but then again, most of the people that I know that drink lots of coffee, besides myself, that is, most of the people that I know that drink large amounts of coffee also put, like, large amounts of sugar in there, which kind of heads you down the road to diabetes. So I don't know how this study works completely. I just thought I'd link it up there. Kind of interesting. The only thing they said was the average consumption of coffee is around 1.5 cups a day. Yeah, I kind of blow that out of the water, and we've talked about that before. But the average consumption of coffee within the study was 3.5. That's right around where I am. So it might actually do me good. So apparently it's going to lower my bad cholesterol, help my heart out, and apparently I'm going to have trouble getting diabetes and cancer and a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm just going to keep drinking the stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. And then the only other link that we have here on today's show is to the Onion Radio News podcast. Talks all about the coffee and our good president, so hopefully you'll find that interesting. Basically, it boils down to a news story. If you've never heard The Onion is a completely fake news site. The news itself is not safe for work all the time. They do throw a lot of swear words in there just to be funny. I find it interesting. Maybe you will too. But this podcast that I have linked up is completely clean. It's really hilarious. It's called the Onion Radio News. It's like short 30-second to minute-and-a-half news blurbs that are completely outlandish. Now, what this one was is that President Bush destroyed all of the White House's files by accidentally spilling coffee on the keyboard and irritating the White House tech guy. So you really have to head on over there and check it out. Just thought you would find that interesting, first of all, because it mentioned coffee, and second of all, because I listen to that podcast and I always get a good chuckle out of it. They usually release one or two a day, so I don't know who's making all these, but it's really cool. All right, now that just about does it here for the Caffeination. Hopefully you found this show interesting. You didn't find me irritating towards the end of it. It's very rare that I talk for almost like 30 minutes after the first song. I usually have that second song to break up the monotony so you don't really have to hear my voice the whole time. It does make recording a little bit quicker, though. I have to tell you that. Hopefully you found this show interesting. If you are looking for the show and you're listening to it on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you're trying to find our MySpace friends account, it's over at myspace.com/caffeination. And if you'd like to send us comments, suggestions, feedback, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw our email-y way, then you can go to caffeination@gmail.com. Our personal blog is, as always, over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.